Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And altogether the congregation said, Amen. That's what the Scripture tells us in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Our lesson this morning is entitled The Good Shepherd. You'll find it in John chapter 10. And the verses that I'm going to use, of course, are the ones that Jesus is speaking to us, beginning at verses 11 and down through 18. Now, Jesus tells us a lot more than that in this chapter, and so I'm not avoiding those other things just for time's sake. For us, in keeping with the concept and the idea of our elder selection, we're going to talk this morning some about that. I want to encourage you now that you will spend some time in the New Testament and maybe in the Old Testament about the concept of leadership and the way God went about selecting people to be put into place as leadership. There's a reason why there are things that we call qualifications are there. So I'm going to encourage you to read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, again in 2 Peter chapter 1, you'll find some advice there, as well as in 1 Peter chapter 5, there's things that are mentioned there. I think they will be good for you to read. And if you have questions about any of those, the things, for example, that you are reading, and you wanted to get some answers to that, you might come to one of the elders or to myself and or David, and we'll do our best to help you study through some of those particular issues. Let's read the passage first of all. We'll begin here with the what Jesus is telling the people that are there. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay, a Bob commentary. We automatically already know that Jesus is really talking about himself and the future that, or what his future holds. Now he's making a comparison. He who is a hired hand, if you have the King James, it says the hireling. Mistos is the word in the Greek text, which simply means someone who's been hired to do something. A hired hand and not a shepherd who is not the owner of the sheep. That changes sort of the emphasis, doesn't it? When people own things, they tend to care a little more about them than those who don't. So he says, he's not the owner of the sheep, and he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock, and he flees, that would be the hireling, because he's the hired hand, and he does not really care, you see, about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says again, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not from this fold, that I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. That's important for us to remember. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father. Well, since our room is filled with believers in here, We all get that. We understand the concept of Jesus speaking, and we believe that whatever Jesus had to say was what the Father sent him to say. I understand that. But we don't want to forget that this is a command that has come down not only from Jesus who came to save us, but from the Heavenly Father, and that it was from the very beginning of time. And you know, as I know that you know, that the Bible gives many descriptive images of our Lord. For example, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and at verse 3, Isaiah tells us that this Savior that is to come, he is a man of sorrow and of grief, and acquainted, actually, is the word he used, with grief. Now, that with grief could mean with not only his death, but him grieving over those who don't hear him and don't listen to the message. Later on in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in verse 29, he says, at the baptism of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." He's a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He's called the Lamb of God, another descriptive kind of term. Earlier in John's Gospel there, in that same chapter, you'll find in those early verses that he describes him as the life of men. And then he says he is the light of men. And as we were reading in our scripture from John chapter 3 today, that was being pointed out graphically later on by John, that Jesus came in to be a light in our world. The very first couple of verses, first two or three verses of the Gospel of John, is all about Jesus being identified as the Logos, the Word. He is the Word of God. Later on, it will say that the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. In fact, he came into his own, but his own received he not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children or the sons of God. More descriptions. Later, the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 15 says that he is the mediator of the new covenant. That's the covenant that we live under, that Jesus came to bring. The one that the writer of the book of Hebrews says is ready to wax old and to vanish away. That doesn't mean that we throw away the Old Testament teaching. What it means is that it's no longer then in force, that there's a new leader, and that's Jesus, that has come on the scene. I often use Ephesians chapter 5 in a wedding service, because it talks about Jesus, who is the groom, and his church, which is the bride. Another descriptive term of who Jesus is. In John 6, he says, "I am the bread of life." The bread of life. John chapter 15, "He is the vine, and you are the branches." Or later on, earlier in chapter 10, he says that "I am the door." All of these are appropriate terms. And there are many more. I'm not mentioning everything that the Bible uses to describe who Jesus actually is. In 1 Peter chapter 5, you have your Bible with you, turn there. And take a look at what those first few verses say, the first four verses. This is one of those that I implore you to study from, because you see, the Bible uses, the New Testament uses three different descriptions, or Greek words, if you will, to describe the leadership of the New Testament church. Elder, that's one of the terms that gets translated into English. Overseer is another one, someone who oversees things. And then shepherd, as we've been reading about, those three terms fit under the three Greek terms that were given. The elders which are among you, he says, this is 1 Peter 5 and 1, I exhort you, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, just like you are a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, because you are in the body of Christ. That is, if you are. And then he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not being forced to do something, and not for the idea of filthy lucre, that's King James, dirty money. That's what that really translates to. But out of a ready mind, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now listen to this. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you know who that has to be. Not one appointed by man. This is the good shepherd. This is the shepherd that Jesus is. He is the top shepherd. In fact, that Greek word literally means he's the head shepherd. So no one that we would put into position here on the earth would ever overrule the head shepherd or the good shepherd, as we're talking about. In Isaiah 40 and 11, the prophet says to us, like a shepherd. He's talking about the one who is to come, the Savior. And he's talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, and in his arms, he will gather his lambs. So this description, this idea, and you'll find also in Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37, those are good Old Testament scriptures or chapters to read, because they talk about the prophetic shepherd that is going to come for the guidance of the New Testament body. Now, I said all of that to say this, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament shepherd, literally. So when you're reading in Psalm 23, you know that psalm. What a marvelous shepherd passage that is. That's a real Jesus description. A description of who Jesus is and what he is when he comes here on the earth for us. So we have, I'm telling you, these descriptions. What's interesting about, I think interesting about the 1 Peter chapter 5 passage, that there are three references to leadership. It starts in the first one with that word, or elder, translated elder. Elder is this word that means, or that is, presbyteros. This means an older person. An older person. Someone who is older. Someone who is spiritually mature. That's what that Greek word represents. So when he says elder, he's talking about someone who by reason of years has become more spiritual. Now there's no virtue in just being an old man, except you outlive someone who died before you. No virtue in getting old, being older. The virtue is being spiritually more mature. An older person who becomes spiritually mature. Most of the time, this word will be translated, that English word, elder. I don't want to bore you with all the Greek terms, but I'm going to give them to you because they are what should shape your idea of what an elder is. The second one, he says, and take oversight of. This is the word episkopos. Really, it's a combination of two words, episkopos, these two. And it describes someone who watches over people, not lords it over people, but he watches over them. He does that nearby so that you can know that he's around if you need him. He's not someone who's always interfering, but he's someone who's overseeing that things can be done. One who watches nearby. And this word gets translated in our English versions as the overseer or the bishop very often. And the third Greek term is what I always, the only way I remembered it taking Greek was to remember it was the Chinese dish, poimen. Poimen. It's the shepherd. And this is the feeder and the supplier of what is need. And that word gets translated pastor. It's the pastor. Now you just heard me read from John 10. I am the good shepherd. That's the word poimen. I am the shepherd who feeds and supplies the needs of everybody. It's not the hireling, because when trouble comes along, he'll flee. These three terms, Greek terms, you need to know them, acquainted with them, because John 10, you see, is the expression of what shepherding is all about. Now, you hear me often refer to one of my childhood mentors. He was the preacher who baptized me and most of members in my family, and conducted weddings and was our preacher in Whittier, California for a number of years. And then later on, he's the fellow that said I was coming to college, whether I liked it or not. So he took care of all of that and was my teacher and professor in school, Brother E.W. McMillan. But one of the things he would sum up after having gone through all of those great qualifications, you know, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not being greedy, doing things willingly. He would say, if you have to look for one, you don't have one. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I realize that sometimes people do things that we don't know they're doing. Okay, so I'm not eliminating that. But what he was trying to say is an elder who's truly a bishop, an overseer, a shepherd, a pastor, you won't have to go hunting for him. You'll see him. You'll know him. Of course, he's going to need to meet up with all the things the New Testament teaches us. And as we read, I'm going to begin towards maybe kind of the bottom part of our reading, but in verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. I know the Father. We know each other. And what he says about a shepherd here is that the shepherd knows his sheep based upon him being a good shepherd. So let me ask you this question here. Make sure I got my notes right. What is the nature of this person we're looking for? What is the nature that Jesus is presenting to us in the good shepherd? Therefore doth my Father love me, verse 17, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I've received of the Father. This is a description of the unselfish Son of God. Where did he leave? Heaven. He came here in the flesh. Don't you know it was much better in heaven? In fact, when Jesus is here, do you remember his time in the garden? Does he not pray, "Oh Father, if there is another way out, if we have a different plan, please, let's do it. But not my will, thy will be done." In other words, Jesus was willing. He was unselfish. He gave of himself. As we heard from John, you know, the great John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must I be lifted up, so that all who believe may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his own Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We have an individual who is unselfish. We have a person who is willing to do what God has told him, the Father. And he's responsible, or shall we say, one we can count on, we can depend upon them to get that job done. I know that sometimes as humans, we don't fully understand everything that goes on in an elders' meeting. And it's probably best you don't. But I want you to know that men who go there are men that must be unselfish, who must be willing, and who must be responsible for carrying out the message of God, seeing to it that God's word is upheld and that the sheep, the people, are cared for. He does it willingly. I'm dating myself here, but you all remember the old Walton family, don't you? John Boy and all those kids, they were always having difficulties, and it was mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. They didn't have any other place to go in reality to get their advice from, did they? John Boy is talking to his grandpa, and he's telling his grandpa how much he cares about this girl, but this girl is, you know, sort of the upper crust. And John Boy says, I don't have anything to offer her, Granddad. Granddad's answer was, offer yourself. Offer yourself. Does that sound familiar? If anyone would come after me, do what? Pick up my cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. Offer yourself, deny yourself, and follow me. This is for all Christians, really, isn't it? I mean, not just those who seek or who would be leaders, but this is for everyone who follows the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, says Paul in Romans 12, present your bodies as a, what kind of sacrifice? A living one. They didn't know what a living sacrifice was. All their sacrifices were dead on the altar. But Paul is telling them under this new law that we offer ourselves as people who are alive but are sacrificing. Sacrificing to live the holy way. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How? Well, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Or picking up your cross, Mark 8 and 34, and denying yourself and becoming responsible. Remember David? How did he protect the sheep? Did he kill the bear? Did he kill the lion? Did he make sure that the sheep were safe? He stands ready to bend whoever would attack the sheep. All of that contrasted, you see, with the one who's only a hireling, who really doesn't care about the sheep. Just somebody working for a wage, more interested in himself, thinking about the fleece or the wool, and not about the sheep itself. Maybe he's in it for profit or prestige. But Jesus, you see, is more interested in the sheep, that's us, than even life itself. He will lay down his life for the sheep. And the shepherd knows those sheep, as we've mentioned in verses 14 and 15. Growing up, we had one of our elders in the congregation out on the West Coast, Brother Rollins. He knew the name, the ages, and the birthdays of every kid in our congregation, one of about 500-600 people. He knew us all. He called us by names, and on our birthdays, he would have a birthday card ready. And this will tell you how far back it was. There'd usually be about 5 dimes that he scotch taped on the inside. Hey, 50 cents over at the 5 and dime would get you a long way. Okay, so don't laugh at that. I don't know what the equivalent of that would be today, but that was a few years ago. You don't like about that many. He knew them. We knew him. I still know him. I still remember him. And when anybody says his name, people's lips begin to turn up on the corners and they smile about old Brother Rollins. What a great person he was. Yes, because he cared about us. He cared about us. That's the nature of the Good Shepherd. All right. What about the need for the shepherd? That's where we are in our congregation. The need for the shepherd. I'm almost done. I know you're thinking about your roast. Well, there's probably nobody in here thinking about a roast. Maybe a chicken. Price of beef today. That roast is out the window, ain't it? What about the need? Let's think about that just a minute. What about the need? Sheep need to be led. They don't know where to go to get something to drink. They don't know where the good pasture is. That's why you have that great shepherd passage, Psalm 23. Leads me beside the still waters. It leads me to those green pastures. He restores my, what? My wool? No, my soul. Because he is a spiritual leader. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know that the way of man is not in himself, for it is not in man that walks to direct his steps. We need someone who helps direct our steps. We know that that's God ultimately. We know that it comes through His Word. But we need men who have lived it and who are practicing it in their lives. And it gives a person that self-need and self-worth. Sheep need to be cared for. Sheep need to be guided. What do sheep need to do? Well, they just need to follow. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. That's what the Lord says in Isaiah 55:8. It's our job to follow. Because we're told that grievous wolves may enter in and also come from within our own selves and not spare the flock. Acts chapter 20. Read verses 28, 29, and 30. So we need that. The Good Shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Man, isn't that great? This is John chapter 11, verses 27, 28, and 29. Nobody is able to take them from me. As good sheep, we need to follow the good shepherd and our good leaders. I want to encourage you in this time of reflection and study about the good shepherd that you'll help us look to the book to guide you so you'll know who the good shepherds are. If you're with us today, you're not a Christian, and we want to encourage you in every possible way to be one.